And as we get into that, I wanted to kind of have prod you a little bit in thinking about something in life and reflecting back on things in your life. Have you ever waited upon the Lord for something, for a healing touch in your life, in your family, for restoration maybe of a broken relationship? And after a month or two of praying about it and wondering, Lord, when are you going to work? And more time passes and years end up passing and you're still praying for whatever it might be. Maybe it's a loved one that would come to salvation in the Lord. And more time passes and you just get at that place where it's like, Lord, when are you going to work through those things, those struggles in life, those difficulties in life, those things that are really you care about deeply in your life? We've all had those things that have come into our lives, I believe, where we have to just diligently wait upon the Lord and pray about those things. And so much time passes, and the tendency is just to kind of give up on it and lose faith and patience and all of those things. But the Lord, I think, wants us to persevere, to endure in those things. And tonight, as we get into the Word, we're going to see the fruition of a promise that was given to the people of Israel hundreds of years beforehand, actually fulfilled tonight in this chapter. And as we kind of go through this, I'm hoping that the Lord would encourage all of our hearts as well, that His promises are sure, His promises are true. And where we get less patient about things and want to see the Lord work through things and resolve situations and all of that, His timing is perfect. And in the journey, as we see here, a lot unfolds and develops in the people as well as the Lord's plan in and through them. And so I hope it's an encouragement to us all that the Lord's promises are true. His will is always the best. And He'll see plans work out in our life as He deems that to be. I think of a few verses that just kind of popped into my mind and thinking about that, just waiting on the Lord and crying out to Him and praying. And a couple of things, it says, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. That's such a wonderful promise. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Jesus said. Ask the Father in my name, Jesus said, and He will grant those things. So all of those verses, those promises are real. They're true. But a lot of times the difficulty in them that I tend to struggle with is those promises are based on us following after the Lord. That our will would not be first and foremost, but the Lord's will. And in that, when we're following after God and desiring to be led by Him, then the Lord gives us those desires because they're perfectly aligned with what He wants to do in and of our lives. And so that's the place that the people of Israel are challenged with in chapter 3 tonight. So let's dive right in. In chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So the setting, you know, I get this awesome visual picture of it. So the spies had just come back from Jericho. They gave word to the people saying, hey, these guys are scared of us. They know we're coming because the Lord is on our side and they're worried about things that are going to unfold. And so all of the people moved to the bank of the Jordan River there. Millions of people at this time along the bank of the Jordan River. And the Lord gives word through Joshua that they are to stay there and camp for 3 days. And it's going to prepare them for the next step of crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And it's interesting because they had had this promise for hundreds of years. They came out of Egypt, wandered around in the wilderness, and now they're finally settled in at the bank of the Jordan River with the Promised Land over there. You know, awesome to see that. And the Lord commands them to that the Ark of the Covenant, where the kind of glory of the Lord dwells, the cherubim and the big ark that they carried around, and they were directed and led by the Lord in it, that his presence was there. Joshua says, let the ark go out in front of you, 1,000 yards or something like that. And in that, you are to follow after the Ark of the Covenant, for that would lead you on where I want you to go. So that's good advice, because the Lord is saying, I want to lead and guide you. I want to prepare the way for you, and I want you to follow. And there's some practical things that I see there as well as spiritual. If the Ark of the Covenant is out there a ways, and you have all these millions of people, you know, that is so practical that every single person would be able to see the Lord's presence and where he was guiding them. Whereas if they were all crowded around the Ark of the Covenant and they're moving across and, you know, nobody would see where'd the Ark go? And it would just be kind of chaos there. So it's real practical that the Lord says, I want everybody to be able to see my presence in leading the nation across the river. And then also there's a spiritual part of just the reverence and the holiness that the Lord desires of us and of the people of Israel in honor and adoration of him. You know, not to get too close, not to disrespect the Lord and the ark there, but to honor it and give reverence there. You know, there's that aspect as well, because the priests, the Levites, were the ones that were charged with administering the ark and all of those things. So it'd be interesting, you know, for 3 days they kind of contemplated what was going to happen. And in all of it, it was just preparation for the task at hand and how the Lord would guide them to the next step in their journey. So he goes on in verse 5 there, he says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I love that, because the next thing that Joshua says, he says, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify. And the meaning of sanctify is just to set apart. Be set apart unto the Lord, so that you would be a vessel in his hands to be used by the Lord. It could also mean to consecrate yourselves, to dedicate yourselves. And that's probably what the Lord was desiring here, because they were already set apart. They were on the banks of the river. But he's saying, I want you to do business with me in your heart and in your mind, that you would be prepared for the work that I have in store for you, to sanctify yourselves, you know. And what does that look like practically? You know, it's bowing down before the Lord and worshiping him and just admiring him and say, you are a holy God. You have been so faithful to guide us to this point and provide for everything that we needed in life. And say, Lord, just clean out all of that stuff that is not of you in my heart and in my mind. Forgive me of those things that are contrary to your word that would distract me from a relationship with you. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. And in that, if the people did that, they would have this holiness that would just be all throughout the congregation. And it says, in doing that, that allows the Lord to really work among the people in their lives personally and as a church, a congregation there. And that's a good word for us as well, that if we want to see the Lord move and work in our lives, in our families, we have to be at that place where we're not quenching out the Holy Spirit in our lives because of sin, because of unforgiveness, whatever the case may be, that we're periodically going before the Lord and saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Please forgive me of those things that are just not of you, that are of me and my flesh and my pride and my desires and my evil thoughts, that you would just cleanse me, Lord. And in that humility, that humbleness, that's exactly what the Lord wants us to be at so he can do his work in and through us. And it's just saying, I am nothing, Lord. You are everything. But use me as you deem. And so the people were to do that, to allow the Holy Spirit to move amongst them, that there wouldn't be any sin in the camp that would quench what the Spirit wanted to do, what the Lord wanted to do in amongst the people there, in preparation for the Lord's work in the next day. So in verse 6, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now, this is interesting because Joshua there, it doesn't say the Lord directed Joshua to tell the people to move the Ark in front of the people there. It says Joshua just commanded that and they did that. And I think that's the benefit of having that communion and that close relationship with the Lord, is that you're led by the Lord in your life. You have the Lord's presence in your life. You're in such close relationship with him that if he says go, you go. And if he says stop, you stop. And whatever our lives are doing, we can say, Lord, your will be done. This is in accordance with your will. And that's where Joshua is at. He was a faithful, just man seeking after the Lord. And in that, the Lord commanded him through him to the people, and they were able to do those things as the Lord saw fit. So the ark moves out in front of the people there. In verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So here we see the anointing of Joshua by the Lord. You know, the Lord specifically calling Joshua to service here. He says, I am with you, Joshua, just like I was with Moses. You know, and that's an awesome testimony to Joshua to be able to be at that place where he's after him, to obey the law, to be at that place, to not let sin and things come in and distract what the Lord wanted to do in and through Joshua. And Joshua's faithful in doing that. You know, and that's such a great calling for our lives as well, for our church. You know, and I'm so thankful over the years of having a man who is ordained by God to be in this place, our pastor. Ordained, chosen by God, faithful man to serve here in Days Creek for 20 plus years now. You know, that's awesome to have that testimony of faithfulness unto the Lord. And that's a calling for the next generation of men and women as well, that they would follow hard after the Lord as well and be chosen and ordained in whatever ministries that the Lord would have for each and every one of us. We all have that and can be chosen by the Lord for service. It's just being at that place of being ready for that, being willing, being humble, asking the Lord for those ministry opportunities, and he shows up. So this was all in preparation for what the Lord desired to do. So he commands the priests, he tells them, hey, this is what's going to unfold. You're going to go down to the river with the ark, and you're going to step into the water. That's what we are to do. That's what the Lord is telling us to do. So it goes on there in verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord, your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. I love that. So now Joshua speaks to the people and he says, the Lord your God is going before us and he's going to take care of everything. He's planned it all out. There's going to be people over there in the promised land that we're going to face, but the Lord has already won the battle with them. You know, and as we continue studying on, there was many, many battles, and each and every one of them unfolded exactly the way the Lord had wanted it to unfold. They had victory after victory after victory to conquer the promised land that the Lord had given them. But he makes it real personal to them. He says, your God, the living God is among you. He is without fail. He will do it. He will accomplish. His will be done. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, and that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand still as a heap. So Joshua now tells the people, this is what's going to happen. The priests are going to step out into the water of the Jordan, and as soon as that happens, the entire river gets backed up, and there's a clear crossing of it. Does that sound familiar? Would that have sounded familiar to Joshua? He added those details, which I find are pretty interesting, because he told the priest, you're going to step in. And then he goes and tells the people, well, you know what? You're going to step in and the waters are going to break. And that's exactly what happened when they came out of Egypt. Joshua was with them and the Red Sea parted and the people passed through. He said, this is going to happen again in the Jordan River. And as we've studied and talked about, you know, and I love it because he's saying, first, you have to take that step. You have to get your feet wet. And once you do that, then the waters part. You know, what a step of faith to be able to do that and know, be expectant, anticipating the Lord's work.
Using the headset?
You can move in a miraculous
way. What mic is he using?
So all of this up until this point is all preparation to the people that were residing on the banks of the river. The Lord had told Joshua, Joshua had told them, this is what's going to unfold. It hadn't unfolded yet. This was all preparation for what the Lord wanted to do in and among the people. And really, I stopped there. And think about that. So you're on the banks of the river you're hearing these things. Some had saw it firsthand. They saw the Red Sea part, walk through. But there was a whole other generation rising up as well that had never seen that firsthand. They'd heard the stories undoubtedly, but it was really a test of faith to them as well. Okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying to us. Am I believing that that's really going to happen? Am I going to take that first step? You know, those are all questions that I would be asking if I was in their situation. I ask those questions about the Lord now in my life. It's a decision point. And what I thought of, just because of my science background, there's theoretical science and there's applied science. So theoretical science is, you know, all the theories and all the methods, and you're doing the experiments in the lab and all of these things to figure out how things work and all of that. A lot of book knowledge. You're studying books and you really like that theoretical stuff. And then on the other side is the applied science. That's what I liked. You know, when you're getting out in the field and you're seeing nature and how it works and all of those things, you're seeing it firsthand. You're observing it and figuring out all those things. I thought, you know, that's kind of similar to where the people are at right now. They have a lot of knowledge of the Lord working. They're hearing it. It's kind of theoretical to them at this point, but are they actually going to see the Lord's hand work through them? And it was a challenge to them to see how the Lord would work. Another thing I thought of, I like to watch YouTube videos, and there's a channel in particular that I really love. It's called Living Waters, Ray Comfort. And I like to watch him because he's a street evangelist. He's excellent. He's been doing it his whole life. And I love to see the people that he interviews just on the street, from the whole range of people. And I like to watch his videos, see how they respond. Some, you know, he challenges them with the gospel, and his demeanor is excellent. You can see that he really loves people. He genuinely cares about everyone and wants them to come to know the Lord, salvation in them. And he gets, you know, every response imaginable from people. Some break down and start crying right then and receive the Lord right then and there. He prays with them. Others are, you know, you're never going to change my mind. I spend a lot of time watching these videos and studying them. And the reason why I like to watch them is because I want to be like that. I want to be bold in my faith, to be able to take that step outside of my iPad watching it and go out on the street and actually do the things that he does. But right now I have a hard time doing that. I watch a lot of videos of him doing it, but I have a hard time doing it myself. You know, putting my foot in the water, testing it and seeing how the Lord would use me in those situations. It's a struggle of mine. I can talk and hear about the Lord all day long to you guys, but it's a whole different story for me if I'm out on the street trying to initiate conversations with people that may not care about the Lord. And that's kind of the same thing here. You know, I know a lot about witnessing. I watch a lot of videos about it, but do I actually get out on the street and do it? Sometimes, not a lot. And that's kind of the challenge that they were faced here as well. Am I actually going to put my feet in the water and see you move, Lord? Have that trust and that faith and that assurance in what you told me is going to happen? Do I believe that to be true? You know, Lord, you've told me that I am to go throughout all of the world, starting here in Days Creek, and then like Douglas County, and then Oregon, and share the gospel with the lost. You know, baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. But am I actually doing that? You know, it's a challenge, as the people here were challenged with that. So what happens? In verse 14, so it was. So it was. And that's all you pretty much have to say about it. So it was. It happened exactly as the Lord commanded it to. The people responded to that. They took the step. They followed after the covenant, Ark of the Covenant, in leading them across. And it all worked out exactly how the Lord wanted it to, because they believed and took that step of faith. They weren't paralyzed on the bank of the river saying, nah, Lord, I believe you. I have head knowledge of you, but I can't do it. That's not where they were at. It says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, where the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over. You know, you read that and go, yeah, okay. All right. But when you stop and think about what had actually happened, has anybody ever seen that happen? No, no, man, not even close, right? No, I've never seen physics being defied, gravity not working, and the whole river being parted in front of their eyes and walking across on dry ground. Now, for those of you that have been to Israel, I was thinking about this. We went to the Jordan River right there, and that river is pretty weak and sad. You know, it's like, yeah, big deal. It's little now. When we went, it was in the drought, so you could literally like jump across it. So when you know that, you're thinking, okay, it's not that big of a deal. But the reason why the river is so little now is because it's dammed up and all of this stuff. But back in the day, it was wide and torrential and had tons of water coming through it, not like it is today. And so to actually cause the river to stop and ball up like that was an absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. And that the only way to explain that is by the creator of the universe being able to do that. The one who set everything in motion, who aligned all of the planets and the stars and everything in perfect order and harmony. Is that a big deal for the God of the universe to just go, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so the people walk through on dry ground. It's a marvelous victory, and it's an amazing miracle. And it just shows the awesomeness of the God that we serve. You know, and for me, I was thinking about, you know, the new year and all that stuff, and just reflecting upon last year and kind of, you know, what would the Lord have for us this year and for me personally. And the thing that really kind of was the main thing that I was thinking about is being able to tap into the power of God more, you know, like this, You know, it says that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. You know, that's the God that we serve. And how well am I tapping into this omniscient, awesome God and seeing Him move through our lives? I'd say I'm pretty weak in that area. I pray and all those things, but am I expectant, believing that the Lord would honor the desires of my heart when it's in accordance with His will? You know, sometimes I cut the Lord way, way short. Cut Him way short. You know, instead of having that faith that as soon as I step out, you're going to part the waters and do amazing things. You know, that's the Lord that we serve and whatever He wants to do. That is available to us just like it was available to them. You know, and we see an interesting picture here. So there was one man that the Lord had called to bring the people of Israel out of slavery bondage through the wilderness wanderings into the promised land. And guess who that is? Joshua. Joshua. And it's such an awesome picture. Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus. You know, such an awesome picture of Jesus in our lives now as believers in Jesus under the new covenant and having that forgiveness of sin and dead in our sin and no life and getting what we deserve, the wages of sin and death. But yet Jesus paved the way for us to have new life, entering into the promises of God and heaven and all of that. You know, and it's just a beautiful picture that we see here in this chapter of the Lord's providence for us as well in Jesus, for us. You know, He parted the sea, the water, that we are able to enter into that promised land, that relationship with God the Father, Joshua. Same thing. Promise fulfilled. The people had this promise that came first in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hundreds of years later, in Joshua chapter 3, we see it fulfilled by the Lord. That's awesome that the Lord's promises are real, they're true, and eventually they will all unfold and be completed exactly how He wants them to. So I was thinking, what promises do we have still in our lifetime that we can be expecting the Lord to move in? Could be that Yeshua comes back to claim His church any day now. Promise of God that He's coming back to gather up all of His sheep to take them home to be with the Lord. You know, that's a promise to us. I believe in our generation, we'll see that promise fulfilled. You know, that's awesome. Every part and piece of that prophecy, for that promise to be in our lifetime, is there. No other generation can say that. We have all of that. You know, will the Lord come back today, tomorrow, maybe? Years out, maybe? Next generation, maybe? But everything is lined up to see the Lord's promise fulfilled in our lifetime. And that's awesome. So I want to just kind of end with this. You know, the encouragement that the Lord's promises offer in our life. Just as the people saw that promise fulfilled, that we too also can see the Lord's promises fulfilled in our life. I think life would be a lot easier if the struggles were shorter, the difficulties were non-existent, the Lord moved a lot quicker as to not test my patience and fortitude, that everything was perfect and rosy and all of that. But that's not life, you know, unfortunately. That's not life. You know, and in that we have sickness and disease and cancer and broken relationships and loved ones not saved, hard time making ends meet, and too many demands on our time, too busy, not enough time to do everything we want to do. But in that, I think, you know, the Lord wants us to continually rest in Him, know that His word is sure, His promises are true, and that in the difficulties of life and all of those struggles, you know, if we never had those things, then we would never really truly see the Lord work in and amongst our lives as He wants to. And I think, you know, the picture we see here is that the Lord moved when the people were set apart. They were sanctified, set apart unto Him. And I think that's a good word for us as well, that we need to be set apart unto the Lord, especially in this day and age when everything is just so crazy and good is evil and evil is good, and that we would be faithfully walking after the Lord's heart and desire in our life and abstaining from those things that are not of the Lord and being obedient and righteous and holy unto Him. And not for anything that we would earn in that, but just out of complete adoration for the Lord and who He is. You know, and is that in that, as we see here, is that's when the Lord moves through all of those things, is when we follow hard after Him. You know, in 2 Peter, it says the Lord is not slack concerning any of His promises. And I kind of cut it short there because I like it. You know, the Lord knows what His promises are to us, and He's going to see those things working into our lives when we follow after Him. But the rest of the verse is, He is not slack in His promises. He wants everybody to come to know Him, to repent, and come to a relationship, salvation in Him. You know, so we see that preparation for the people of Israel and allowing the Lord to work in and through them. And, you know, that's our calling. That's our heart's desire. And I think the Lord would continue to honor that and work through us, you know, all for His glory, all for His purpose. And we'll see some amazing things done by the Lord, you know, when we as a people sanctify ourselves and follow hard after Him. You know, the Lord would do similar things in our lives as well. Let's pray. Well, Father, how grateful we are to know You, Lord, and just the testimony of Your faithfulness, Lord, and fulfilling the promises that You've given through Your word. And Father, may we follow hard after You all the days of our life. And in this new year, Lord, that we would purpose in our heart to be used by You, to take those steps for You, Lord, and just see how You might work in them amongst us. We thank You for that work, Lord. Continue to do it here in this place and in our lives personally and as families, as a fellowship, as a church, as a congregation, Lord. Thank You for that. Father, I pray a blessing upon each and every one here, Lord, that You would continue to use them, fill them with Your Spirit, Lord. And as we end the second half of the week, Lord, that You would bless our steps and our mind and our heart, and that we would just be instruments in Your hand, Lord. And all the things that You put before us, Lord, and caring for our families and working and all the responsibilities and the duties that we have, Lord, may we do it as unto You, Lord. And thank you for all those that you brought here tonight, Lord. Carve out time to spend time together. So, so important, so, so beneficial when we get together and have a fellowship with you in the center of it all. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.